my nerdy fraternity and sorority, and welcome to the Nerds of Oz podcast, Nerd Alert. Season 2, Episode 6. Unfortunately, the Fortress of Nerditude is empty except for me, so no Josh and no Shane, but just to make sure that people know that it's still the Nerds of Oz, I should do this. So, there you go, Shane. I've at least cracked a can on your behalf. This is a temporary measure, the way that we're going to be recording for the next few episodes. Obviously, the coronavirus has hurt us a fair bit, hurt everybody a fair bit. Basically, I'm actually recording in my bedroom instead of out in the lounge room where I normally would. My wife, who has to work from home now, has taken over where our podcasting area was, which is, it's interesting to have to find your home wife being different to what your work wife is. But there you go. What we've basically decided is that we all work retail, we're all in shopping centres, we need to possibly not meet each other as often as we can. And, you know, the law has said that you should just basically go straight home when you're not at work. So we're doing the right thing. I hope that all of you are well, our listeners. It's a pretty scary time at the moment. I can't imagine what it would have been like when Spanish flu was around and there was no information. It was just like people were dying around you and you didn't know why. At least we have things like podcasts and the internet and good access to information so that we can have a better communication through all of this. And even, you know, the kids that aren't at school who can learn at home and all that sort of stuff. And because people are stuck at home, what I've decided to do is like a mini series within the series. So it'll still be numbered the normal Nerds of Oz episodes, but what these will basically be, it'll either be me or myself and... You know her as our producer, Kirby. She's our facts and figures person while we're doing our recording. Kirby is also my daughter. If I haven't introduced myself, I'm Justin, so that's probably about 2 minutes too late. But anyway, her and I have sort of started to gather things together waiting for what potentially could be the inevitable lockdown. So we have a bunch of board games and stuff like that. So we're collecting a whole pile of stuff so that we've got something to do if we end up with, you know, 4 weeks of quarantine. God forbid that should happen. So what we're going to do is we're going to do a couple of episodes about things to do while you're trapped, nerdy things to do while you're trapped in quarantine. Basically, what this episode is, I've looked at all of the games that I've got, and I've picked out of all of my games my 5 favourite ones of my collection, not necessarily that exist in the world, but my 5 favourite ones that I have that are based on franchises. Now, I actually have a fair few games that are based on franchises. I've got a Bond Seen It. Seen It is one of those ones where you put a DVD on and you ask questions about the DVD. Unfortunately, I've also got a Twilight, one of those. I've got a bunch of Star Wars Trivial Pursuits. What else have I got? Like a couple of Monopolies that are that sort of related as well. But I've picked a few different things for this one. So I'm going to go through them. Like these episodes are going to be shorter than what you'd normally expect from the Nerds of Oz, basically because we don't have the sick bants that you're used to. Instead, it's just going to be information, and maybe when Kirby and I do one later on, we'll have a little bit of bant, which will basically just be her going, "Oh, Dad," to everything I say. Anyway. The 5 best games that I've got that are sort of based on licenses. I'm going to start with one called Marvel Crisis Protocol. That's Marvel Crisis Protocol, if I can learn to speak the language better. So it's a skirmish miniatures battle game. It's similar to Kill Team or Warcry from Games Workshop. It's a really cool board game, a really cool miniatures game. It comes with a pile of scenery. Like, games never used to come with scenery, and you just sort of have crap cardboard things. But this comes with, like, cars and dumpsters, traffic lights. It comes with a building. And this is really cool because, like, some of the characters can actually pick up, like, they can pick up a car and use it as a weapon and stuff like that. So it's pretty cool because it actually has, like, the scenery is functional as part of the game. Now, the base set that has come out already, it comes with, on the good guys, Iron Man, Spider-Man, Captain America, Black Widow, and Captain Marvel. And on the villain side, you've got Ultron, Doc Ock, Dr. Octopus, for those who don't know him as well as I do. Who else? Red Skull, Baron Zemo, and Crossbones. Now, all of these characters have sort of spec cards, and you play them in a particular way, and then when they get injured, you flip the cards over, and it sort of shows whether they increase or decrease in various skills when they are a little bit broken. Now, if I'm to criticize this game for something, the assembly on the miniatures is dreadful. They don't sort of have locking points or anything like that. They're nice miniatures once they're built, but they are a nightmare to build. They're a terrible, terrible build. They're not very detailed. They're made of a softer plastic. But if you're a good enough painter, they can look pretty cool. Now, there's heaps of expansions to this game too. So far, there's been MODOK, Venom, Shuri and Okoye from Black Panther, and Black Panther and Killmonger from Black Panther, Vision and Winter Soldier, Groot and Rocket, Doctor Strange and Wong are about to come out. There's Thor and Valkyrie. There's a bunch of others. Now, each of the expansions comes with the characters' cards and tokens. They do seem a little bit expensive. The miniatures are really cool, and they do come with all of the stuff that you need to be able to play each character in the game. If you like that sort of... this is more sort of an entry-level war game, I think. This is made for people who possibly are more Marvel fans than war game fans. So war game fans might not be as stoked about how it plays, but they might like it. But if you're a Marvel fan, you'll dig it because it's easy and you're playing with characters that you love. My second one is, I'll just preface this by saying that one of the things that I hate that Games Workshop did was is that they changed Warhammer Fantasy Battle into a thing called Age of Sigmar. Basically, they changed the way Warhammer Fantasy Battle worked was is that you had trays of miniatures. So all of your horsemen or all of your spearmen or anything would move as a platoon like they did sort of in ancient times. You know, all of the knights would move together and your heroes would sort of charge out in front, that sort of thing, like you see in the movies. And the Age of Sigmar game is a fantasy game, but it's realistically just Warhammer 40K, which is a game that's a skirmish game, so it's like the Marvel Crisis Protocol game. It's not done with trays and stuff like that. It's just done with individual models who have to move together in a group coherency, but they're not all attached in a base together. I love that about Fantasy Battle, and to the point that I refer to Age of Sigmar as Age of Suckmore. I hate it. I absolutely hate it. So in this game that I'm about to talk about, it is called A Song of Ice and Fire. Yes, it's a miniatures game based on the Game of Thrones novels, not the books. The novels, not the TV show. So you play as the various houses. The main box comes with Stark and Lannister. And basically you don't just play a game of sort of miniature battles where all of your horses and your men are fighting. You've also got like political shenanigans. So a game like this, if this was Warhammer Fantasy Battle, you wouldn't have anything for someone like Cersei, because Cersei doesn't appear as a battle person in there, or Sansa Stark or Tyrion did, but not so much. So there's actually a political track, and the political track, you can move those politically based people, those politically based characters around on that track, and that's pretty cool because what it does is it actually affects the game. So it might be rumors, or it might be giving better actions to your troops or something like that. Cool thing about this game, no construction. You pull these miniatures out of the box and you start playing. It's that's something that I really, really love about this game. I should point out too that Marvel Crisis Protocol is from a company called Atomic Mass Transmissions. This is from a company called Simon Games. I should have probably written down all of the game companies that did this, and I don't have any of my things to be able to help with that. Oh well. So this is really cool. It's like Warhammer Fantasy Battle in so much as that all of your characters are in these cool little bases. You move like all of the horsemen together. It's a lot of fun. The miniatures aren't spectacular, but they are good enough for what you're playing. So that was A Song of Ice and Fire. My next one is another miniatures game. I think this is my last miniatures game. Yeah, this is my last miniatures game. And this minis game is Star Wars Legion. This is pretty cool, Star Wars Legion, because there's now, there wasn't originally, but there is now two starter sets. There is a Rebels versus Empire starter set, or is there a Trade Federation versus Clone Army set? Basically, you get a whole pile of troops, you get a vehicle or two, and you get like a hero. I think in the main set, that the Rebels Empire set, which was the first set that came out, you get Luke and Darth Vader. Who else would you get? Like, that's the standard. Yeah, it's really cool. You get to play as characters and troops from the original, the prequel movies, which is really cool, because then you can pretend that the Force Awakens trilogy never happened. The miniatures are nice. It's an easy game to learn. Again, like the Marvel one, it is one of those ones where it's just fun to play, but there is assembly. So if you're interested in the hobby side of it and the building and painting of miniatures, you can have fun with that as well. I think that's pretty cool. I like building and painting miniatures. If you look at the Nerds of Oz Instagram, which is at the Nerds of Oz, you'll find that there is a lot of miniatures that I've painted recently. There's also extra packs that you can buy. So there's things like there's a Wookiee unit that you can buy separately. There's like General Veers. There's other characters. Even some more obscure ones, like there's a Bosk one, and Bosk was only really seen in Empire Strikes Back for a split second, even though there's a lot of sort of extracurricular stuff about him. And there's an Iden Versio one. Like, Iden Versio is the main character in Star Wars Battlefront 2. I think I got the name of the video game right. So the fact that you can actually play with a character who's not part of the main part of canon, but is actually a part of the video game canon, that's pretty cool. And Versio was an amazing character as well. She's probably my favorite Star Wars character. The next one I've got is a game called Marvel Top Trumps Quiz. Yes, it's another Marvel game, and there's going to be a third one as well. I guess just there's so many Marvel games around. If you throw that much shit at the wall, eventually some of it's going to stick. With the Marvel Top Trumps Quiz game, it's a basic trivia game. You essentially take cards out of this double-sided box and you ask each other questions that are specific to the Marvel movies. Just as an example question, so this is a card that I've got in my hand for Iron Man 3, and what new nickname is given to the suit worn by James Rhodes? It's Iron Patriot. You should know that if you're listening to this podcast. And so basically you go through and you play this game, and you, like Top Trumps, you're sort of collecting cards. And I think it's that you ask five questions, and whoever gets to five cards first wins the game. You can play heaps of different varieties on that. I'm actually not 100% sure that that's the correct rules for this, but the way we play it here at home, it's like you ask a question off a card, whoever gets that question, if you both get that question right, it goes into a pile to the side. If you both get that question wrong, it goes to a pile to the side. If I get the question right, but you get it wrong, I get both cards, and it's whoever's got five cards at the end wins. It's a fun game. Top Trumps is a fun game. The artwork on them is always really nice, and this comes in an Iron Man red shiny box too, so that's pretty cool. The problem with this game is that if you play it with someone who knows their Marvel movies, you're screwed. They're going to tar and feather you every single time. I have a Trivial Pursuit that's 100 years of cinematic horror, and no one will play it with me because they know that my horror knowledge is pretty good. So they're like, yeah, no, you'll beat us at that, so we're not going to play that with you. Can we play something else? And then we get seen at Twilight Out. No, I'm only joking. Nobody ever gets seen at Twilight Out. So the last one I've picked is a game called Marvel Codenames. If you have ever played Codenames, which is the game by, and I'm sorry about the pronunciation of this name, Vlada Schwartels, so that's the name of the person who created this game. It's the same rules. Codenames is a game where two spy masters need to secretly expose secrets to their spies without revealing themselves to the opposition, without killing innocent people, and not revealing an assassin, which immediately finishes the game. The way this is done is with a 5x5 grid, which has pictures on it. In some of the games, they're words. In the Marvel one, they're specifically pictures. The secrets are revealed by describing stuff. So just say you had a 5x5 grid and there was a bunch of Marvel stuff on it, and you had Hulk and Abomination, and they were two of the cards you tried to reveal. What you would actually say is two monster. And so you as the spy master would say that, and your spy would look at the grid and go, okay, then what two things on here are monsters? And they might, if Ghost Rider was there, for example, they might think Hulk and Ghost Rider are monsters and not think of Abomination. Or they might think Hulk's a hero and go Abomination and whatever. But if they reveal cards that aren't what you're supposed to have, it affects the way that you play. And the point of the game is to reveal all of your spies first. The way that this code names works is it makes it Hydra as Shield rather than just sort of generic spy masters. Codenames is an amazingly fun game. If you don't have Codenames in your game collection, you need to go out and get one now. Codenames comes in a regular one. It comes in one called Codenames Duet. There is Codenames. There's Simpsons, Harry Potter, Marvel. There's one that's called Codename Pictures because I think the cards just have pictures instead of words on it. Massively fun game, and if you're a Marvel fan, this takes the fun of that and turns it into a Marvel thing. The artwork on these cards is beautiful as well. The artwork is absolutely stunning. I'm actually not sure who did the artwork on it, but it was it's pretty cool. So like I said, these are just going to be brief episodes. They're the five games that I have in my collection that I think are really, really cool, that celebrate franchises and licenses and stuff like that. I have a couple of others. There's a really cool Power Rangers game that I've got, but it's a lot more in-depth and not as easily accessible as what these games are. Like, for example, A Song of Ice and Fire, a parent and a 10-year-old could open one of those boxes and with no knowledge of Game of Thrones could sit down and play it and have fun playing it. The knowledge of the show or the books in this case is actually secondary. It's just one of those things that if you know about those things, you'll get a little bit of a cheap thrill about what's going on, and you'll sort of recognize the names of some of the characters and stuff like that. These are all really super fun games. We have a lot of fun playing them. And with the Star Wars and the Marvel one, even though the Marvel one's frustrating to build, they are a lot of fun to paint, and they look really cool if you've painted them well. When you have a look at what I've painted, if you go to our Instagram, which is at the Nerds of Oz, you can decide whether or not you think that I've done a good job or not. They're some boredom buster ideas for if you are sort of trapped. Later in the week, we're going to do sort of five family games that we think are pretty cool and ones that we break out all the time. So these are sort of non-licensed franchisees ones, and I'll probably throw a couple of comic reviews in here and there as well. Thank you so much for persevering with the Nerds of Oz. We love doing this. I love doing this. I am so sad that the boys can't be here with me because I really, really miss them. This is one of the things about, thank God that we've got stuff like Messenger and Facebook and things like that. I mean, I know that a lot of people see them as a curse a lot of the time, but it's so nice to still be able to communicate them with regularly and have a bit of a laugh now and again. It's just a shame that I don't have the technological, I can't even say technological, I don't even have the technological nous to be able to find some way to actually have them appear on this. I know that the tested guys are all working remotely. If I could work out how to do that, I would definitely do it. And if I do work out how to do it, they might be back. And that way Shane can dispose of his own cans instead of me having to go to the bin after he's with a box of empties every time he's been. Thank you so much for listening. You can get in contact with us, even on Twitter or Instagram. Tell us what your favorite licensed game is. You might have something that's really cool that I don't know about, and I love playing games. Like, I'm even trying to create my own board games and stuff. So if you've got something that I haven't mentioned, please hit me up and tell me a good licensed game so I can check it out. That would be awesome. On Instagram, we are at the Nerds of Oz. On Twitter, we are at the Nerds of Oz. You can see Josh's life on at Sourceless White Boy on Instagram, and with Shane, it's at BatSparkle44. Thank you so much for listening, and we will be back again very soon with another brief
Nerd Alert,
and we'll have some fun then. please take care of yourselves, take care of others, do the right thing. Let's try and stay inside and beat this thing. Mankind's better than this. Take care, everybody.